Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay in the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So, good evening, Misty. How are you?
I'm wet. How are you? We had a terrible rain, storms, winds, but I'm fine. All is well. It's not a hurricane, but it feels like it.
Is it hot?
No, actually, for here it's cool. It's in the 70s, so that's cool for here. Temperature's doing fine. It's just a huge amount of wind, like probably 40 mile per hour wind gust, and lots of rain, lots and lots and lots of rain. But other than that, well, places.
Yeah, that's definitely the weather I hate.
Yeah.
South.
We've had rain for 3 solid days.
Wow.
We usually don't get that.
No, you don't. Not for solid days. Only an hour a day.
We got more rain from this than what we get from usually the hurricanes, if you can believe that. So, yeah, it's not been very pretty out. Some places have flooded. A lot of places lost electricity. But, you know, I think everyone's pretty safe. I haven't heard of any deaths or anything, which that's important, you know.
That's for that, right.
Yeah, a lot of streets flooded and stuff. But it seems to be going back to normal now. It's actually not rained for the last 3 to 4 hours. So that's definitely an improvement. So hopefully it moves on out.
Well, tonight we have an open forum. So if anybody would like to join us and give their opinions or their thoughts, please feel free to do that, and the call-in number is area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that again. It's area code 646-716-4893. And, Misty, I would just like to say that, you know, I know that it's really tiring at the end of a long weekend to have to continually do this show week in and week out. Sometimes I think, why are we doing this every week? It's so exhausting. You know, it's late here on the East Coast.
But
then we get such nice letters, and I look at the responses on our listener board, and, you know, there's almost 1,000 people a week listening to this show.
Wow.
So, you know, they're depending on us to give them the support they need, because often women don't have any support, and the only thing that they can hang on to are our, you know, broadcasts. So,
you know,
I think it makes a whole difference in what they're...
I'm sorry. My phone's going in now. I talked over you. I'm completely sorry. My phone is going in now, and I thought you would pause and talk and go ahead.
No. I was just saying that, you know, for some women, this is the only reaching out that they can do for the time being, because they don't know anyone else in their area that's going through a similar situation. You know, they don't know where to turn to for help. So by hearing our conversations, I get such beautiful feedback. Thank you for the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't wait to listen to it next week.
Mm-hmm.
So that really keeps us going. So, you know, always give us your feedback. You can always write to me at bonnk@aol.com. And if you have any questions or any suggestions or you'd like to be a guest with us, we're more than happy to have that. I know that last week we had Wendy, who is one of our favorite guests, come on the show, and Wendy wrote all those lists on how women get through the recovery period, and she's working on some new lists also. And Wendy was kind enough to write for my new book, Straight Wives, Shattered Lives, Volume 2, which is now available on Amazon. And if you go on there, you just put down Straight Wives, Shattered Lives 2, and you can get the book either in a paperback book or else as an ebook. But I just wanted to spend a little time reading the introduction tonight to that book, because the stories in there are 22 powerful, dynamic stories of women who are part of our support network who shared their stories, and some more will be with us soon to discuss their stories that they have in the book. But in my introduction, I wrote, when the first edition of Straight Wives, Shattered Lives was published in 2006, the response and reviews from women from around the world was overwhelmingly favorable, with words that included life-saving, validating, eye-opening, and groundbreaking. This was the first book of its kind where women from five continents told true stories about their marriages to gay men. All of the stories were different as far as the names and the places, but the emotional impact from each woman was universal and the same. So many women were able to clarify their own doubts and denial after reading this book. Over the past 5 years, thousands of new women have come to me with their heartbreaking stories. I thought it is now time to do part two of this book with other women who are willing to share their stories, knowing how affirming it is to hear the words and experiences of others traveling this journey. In fact, several of the women who contributed to this book stated they did so because of the impact they felt after reading the original stories. I co-authored a new book titled Over the Cliff, Gay Men and Straight Marriages, published in June of 2011, which was written in a similar format with gay married men telling their stories and struggles. I felt it was important for gay husbands to be able to connect to others who were struggling by living a daily lie in order for them to realize the importance of coming out to their wives, which is always my ultimate goal. In the book, I told the men readers what I tell men who come to me for help. If you truly love your wife, you owe her the real truth about why your marriage is failing. When you see the agonizing pain that our women face daily throughout the years, throughout the years in their marriages, you can understand why this missing piece of information is the key to solving the problem. The problem with the number of married gay men is that they look to place the blame of the unhappiness in their marriages everywhere except where it belongs, which is on their homosexuality. You will see some of these stories how husbands externalize the problem rather than internalize it. If only you cleaned the house better, if only you didn't gain weight, if only you didn't spend so much time with the children. I say, if only, if only, if only, then what? He wouldn't be gay, these feelings wouldn't surface in his lifetime, he wouldn't have needed to find comfort in the arms or bed of another man? I think not. I have studied homosexuality for 3 decades. I believe that people are born gay. There is no choice in their sexuality. No one would choose to be gay if they could choose to be straight. What would be the purpose? Sadly, no studies have provided a magical or even logical answer of why some gay men are able to deny their homosexuality for years while others can't at all. No one can explain why some gay men can perform adequate sex with a woman for a number of years while others shudder at the thought could never do it. There are so many variables that have no rational or logical answers. Some professionals explain this by making up scales like those of Kinsey in order to explain the differences away. Kinsey defines people on 7 levels ranging from exclusively heterosexual to exclusively homosexual. Along the scale, there are other choices. Some gay men love the scale because they feel so much better saying they are on the 2nd level of the Kinsey scale, predominantly heterosexual but more than incidentally homosexual, than on the 4th level of the scale, which is predominantly homosexual but more than incidentally homosexual. Like, what is that? Why do we have to keep gay men in a bigger state of confusion and denial than they're already in? As I tell my women, I have the Bonnie K scale of sexuality. There are 2 levels on the scale. The 1st level is you're straight because you only want a woman. The 2nd level says you're gay because you're thinking, fantasizing, viewing, or touching a penis. It doesn't matter if you have a wife and children or even if you're having sex with your wife. Here is my scientific formula. Penis equals gay, period. Others believe that sexuality is fluid, moving through different phases as your life changes. There are theories of what causes homosexuality, from the ridiculous to the more ridiculous, including domineering mothers, passive fathers, absentee fathers, sexual molestation in childhood, bad role modeling, and the list goes on. I say, who cares? Even if you don't believe that people are born gay, does it really matter how they became gay? It is what it is, and guess what? It doesn't matter because it isn't changing. I know some wonderful gay men who have spent years and fortunes of money trying all kinds of therapies and medication to make them straight. It's a no-go. In the end, they can't suppress their minds and bodies from the desire of wanting a man. There are also some men who are truly living in a limbo world. They desperately desire a straight life with a loving wife, but when it comes to sex, it's a man that excites them. They don't or won't or can't adapt to the gay world around them. Most likely they have been raised to hate what gay represents, so they stay in a world of denial, justifying that it's just a physical act with a stranger. But they believe or continue to convince themselves that they are still straight, or like a famous exposed minister recently said about his own gay indiscretions, "I am straight with issues. I gave up trying to argue with people about what it is, namely gay. I have people disputing me on a regular basis about my black and white views on the issue. After nearly 30 years and over 70,000 women, I feel qualified to say that this is black and white. I can't see the grays, only the gays. If your man wants a man, fantasizes about a man sexually, looks at gay porno, thinks of men to sexually stimulate him when he performs with you, watches gay videos, well, call it what it is, gay. I don't believe in different levels on the scale because to me it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter if a man wants a man 10% of the time, 40% of the time, or 100% of the time. He wants a man. I wouldn't feel any better because my husband is thinking about men 25% of the time when he's making love to me. Well, for that matter, not even 1%. This is not what women want in their marriage. As a side note, I know this book has the word bisexual in the subtitle. I don't want to mislead anyone. I don't believe in bisexuality. I believe this is a way that gay men make themselves feel better or straighter because they have a wife and children. By identifying with bi, they don't have to say the scary word gay. I only put the word bisexual in the title because there are women who believe their husbands are bisexual. These are women who don't understand homosexuality yet. The word bi misleads women into thinking there is a choice, which gives them a false sense of hope. If I love him hard enough, he will love me better and want me more than men because he has a choice. The joke is on them. It doesn't happen. There are some women who will do anything to try to make their marriages work when they hear this news. This is a bargaining part of the grieving process. Trust me, I've been there and done that. Most of our women love their husbands and don't want to break up their marriages. They want to stay married to the men they fell in love with and build a life with. They don't want to become single parents and be responsible for raising and supporting a family primarily on their own. At first, some women look to hang on to their gay husbands at any cost. You will read some of those stories in this book. In time, they will realize it is not what they bargained for when they said their wedding vows. They did agree for richer and for poorer in sickness and health. There was no mention of for straight and for gay anywhere in the vows. Some of our women in their desperation even consider making adjustments to their marriages by either allowing their husbands to see someone for sex or turning a blind eye as long as they don't have to know about it. In time, being an ostrich only works for so long. The marriage is doomed. There are women who come to me filled with hope. I'm not sure why. They know where I stand, but they keep thinking I'm holding back a precious nugget or two of possibilities for fixing the problem. These are mostly the women who have had good and loving husbands, and they can't understand how everything changed so suddenly after a number of wonderful years of marriage. My heart goes out to these women. I always say it's more difficult to recover from losing a good marriage than from losing a bad one. I am the counselor that refuses to give false hope to any woman who is struggling with this issue. All I can give women hope for is that they can salvage a wonderful friendship and readjust their family expectations. I do believe you can still be a family even when you're no longer married if you have two willing participants. What is amazing is the prevalence of these marriages encompassing millions of people throughout the world, and yet the isolation that each woman feels is equally universal. Each woman feels the same sense of horror leading her through a whole new myriad of problems that she's not equipped to deal with. This is not like other divorces where couples fall out of love. These are divorces that leave the wife feeling the ultimate state of betrayal and without a roadmap for her future. Trust me, the problems in the aftermath of straight gay marriages are very different than others. As you'll see in these stories, years of ongoing emotional deterioration and neglect, in and out of the bedroom, leave our women in a shattered state. They feel stripped of their dignity, sexuality, mental well-being, and in many cases, sanity. This comes through a process which I refer to as gay lighting, which is similar to gaslighting. This is where the gay husband tries to make the wife feel like she is crazy because she knows the truth about him. These men are manipulative, and they know how to push all the buttons of their already beaten down wives who are living in a state of confusion and disconnect. A woman loses her sense of reality, questioning what is real and not real. Her sense in her own judgment is hanging by a thread because her belief system is constantly being challenged and rebuffed. Even the strongest of women can easily lose themselves in a situation like this. I know I was one of those women. By connecting to other women, we have the opportunity of learning from others what we are going through is normal. All the fears, sickness, insecurity, and feelings of hopelessness are part of the process of moving ahead. And most importantly, it takes time. I tell gay husbands, you struggle for a lifetime. Don't expect your wife to get over it in a few weeks, months, or even sometimes years. There are so many factors involved, but we are strong women and we do recover. Many of us have moved on and found true love with straight men. I hope after you read these stories, you'll start repeating my personal mantra daily. Life was never meant to be this complicated, period. I say period following that statement so you won't think there is room for widening the space with words such as, well, maybe, if only, what if? Those words are time wasters in your life. They delay what is, so you'll see, as you'll see in these beautiful stories that follow. So that's the introduction to the book. What do you think, Misty? Well, I think I lost Misty. How about that? Let me see if I can get her back on. Are you
Hello?
There, Misty?
Yes.
Are you there?
I can hear you. Can you
I
hear me now?
I just lost you for a moment, but you're back.
Okay, good. I was talking away. It was beautiful. I love that introduction to your book. And I'm going to be devil's advocate here just for a moment, even if the whole concept of bisexuality existed, and I'm going to pretend that, I'm going to entertain the idea, because, I believe that there's a possibility for anything, even if it does. When it comes down to, because my ex-husband, he briefly insinuated that he may be gay. But see, where this goes awry is, if your husband's saying he's bisexual and he's not desiring you, he's not intimate with you, there's something wrong. Because I don't consider that being bisexual. Because he should be equally attracted to me as what he would be to men. And unfortunately, it's just so hard for women to believe that, because with that bisexuality, when they start saying that, women automatically grab on to hope. They automatically cling on to, okay, I can make this work. This is going
right.
to work. It's
I
a little faith
clinged
we're
on
going
to it.
Through. And it's
Yeah,
it's
I believed
not.
It. I thought if I could try harder, be a better
right.
wife, lose more weight, keep
right.
the house cleaner, I would
Look
make
better.
my ex-husband happy, and he wouldn't have to focus on that stuff anymore. I'll call it stuff.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. And, even out in the general population, if bisexuality does exist, I do believe that the gay men that marry women and try to make it work, and I know they try to make it work, so I'm not bashing them for that. I think they truly think themselves, okay, I found this wonderful woman. I love her enough. I think I can make it go away. And I think that's what they really try to do in most cases. And because it's not, as you and I know, it's not easy being gay out here in this world. Even in 2011, it's not easy. And, you and I both.
Yeah, go ahead.
You and I both have gay friends. We know what some of the hardships and horror stories that they tell us. It's not easy being gay. It's not. And I have sympathy for them, because it's hard. They are a minority in many areas, and they are discriminated against. many different positions, whether it be work or their family sort of outcast them in all sorts of different ways. So it's not easy. And
I do sympathize with that. You're so right on that. And there's a very good site. You know, I haven't looked at it for a while, but I used to be in close touch with the gentleman who put this together. It's called Married Gay. And he is in the United Kingdom, but he was working on this information for so many years. And throughout my earlier years, we were in close touch because I used to ask women to fill out. He had a questionnaire going on, you know, about women who are married to gay men. And a lot of our women did answer. But his site is called marrygay.org. And it says, if only I were not gay. This is the cry of many a gay man who feels that nature has dealt him a cruel blow. I suspect that there are a few gay or bisexual men who would not prefer to be normal, whatever that may be. Being not gay would mean that I could share heterosexual thoughts and jokes with my friends and not be looked upon as some sort of freak if I were to reveal my innermost secrets. I could enjoy the sight of a pretty woman walking down the street. I would not have to pretend anymore. As a married man, I would not have to pretend to my wife that I was normal, quote-unquote, and had no interest in that cute young man walking down the street whom I've been watching for the last 5 minutes. I would not have to cruise places where I could meet other men with the same inclination as myself and run the risks associated with that. I would not have to cruise the internet advertising for like-minded men to meet me by arrangement. Again, running the risk associated with that. I would not have to look for a regular boyfriend or boyfriends on the side whom I could meet periodically to maintain my sanity to fulfill my innermost needs. But I am gay, and I am married, and I have children, and none of these reduce my gayness other than temporarily. And I feel guilt towards my wife for having deceived her when we married, when I genuinely thought that I had changed from homosexual to heterosexual to be with this woman whom I love and who is also my closest friend and yet cannot give me all that I need. I had no intent to deceive her or to hurt her. I thought it had gone away forever. But it hadn't gone away. It's still there, albeit for a while suppressed in the deepest recesses of my mind. Homosexuality is wrong. There are those who say that homosexuality is wrong and that homosexuals should not practice their homosexuality. All homosexuals should abstain. Many of the religious groups take this view and will only accept homosexuals as bishops, even when they are in a relationship, if they abstain from the sexual act. It is fine to say that homosexuality is wrong if you are not a homosexual. What we are, we are. I earnestly believe that in the debate of nature versus nurture, nature has the greatest influence and that we are mostly born that way. We do not have a choice. I believe that abstinence can cause depression and worse to occur, that as living beings, we have as much need to have sexual fulfillment as the next man. The fact that I am gay, I am married, whether I should have married or not, and I have to make the best of the situation I am in without hurting too much my loved ones and yet at the same time meeting my innermost needs, how do I do that? Well, that is where I do have a choice. It may not be easy, but I do have a choice. And that's how the website starts out. He does have a comment here I'm going to read to you about bisexuality. And, you know, once again, the gentleman who wrote this, wonderful man, I don't always agree with him on everything, but, you know, he has some very good points. He says, bisexual, does bisexuality really exist? This is something that is debated quite frequently. There are those who contend that bisexuality does not exist and that you are either heterosexual or homosexual with practically no in-between. I believe there is a difference between what we are fundamentally in our genes for the sake of argument and what we practice. Wherever we consider ourselves to be now on the Kinsey scale, useful starting point, we might not be there in a few years' time, and we might not even have been there a few years ago. Many people acknowledge that their perceived sexuality does change over the years, either towards the homosexual end of the scale or more rarely, as seen in the results of the questionnaires, towards the heterosexual end of the scale. I guess that we tend to move towards what we like to do most, and tastes do change over the years. Does it really matter? There is a great danger in trying to put a person's sexuality into a post box, such as homosexual, bisexual, or heterosexual. In doing so, we may be restricting our interpretation of a person's true sexual identity. The question has been asked, surely if a person is married and has homosexual tendencies, they are really bisexual, right? It can also be asked, if a person is considered to be bisexual, even though they can have sex with both sexes, why should they not be content in marriage only to have sex with their spouse? The answer to this last question must address the needs of the person concerned. Most extramarital activity is the result of a need to go outside the marriage. Whether a true bisexual would be content with sex with their spouse alone is the subject to conjecture. Is subject to conjecture. A large number of married gay people consider themselves to be gay rather than bisexual. They also quote them. They often quote themselves as being one woman or one man short of being totally gay. So, therefore, let us avoid such tags as gay, bisexual, and so on as much as we can, and accept that we are what we are. When it comes to a relationship with a partner, that's a different story again. It is not possible for a gay or bisexual man or woman to have a satisfactory relationship with someone of the opposite sex, although the track record for such a relationship is not particularly good. And that's what he says about, you know, bisexuality.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found most amazing, because a few years ago when he did the survey, and, you know, he did how many men have been honest in their relationships, and how many, you know, people have, are going to, will ever tell their wives. You know, he had, like, a lot of questions like that. And it was just amazing to me that many of the men said, you know, they would never tell their wives no matter what. You know, close to maybe 50-some percent. But also in looking at the questionnaires that he has in this one, what I found really surprising was about safe sex. And he did a chart from a survey that he did on safe sex, and it says how many men always have it versus sometimes they're never or they're not willing to say. And it did show that 55% of men who are out there who are married, gay men, who are out there having sex with their wives, not knowing it, 55% of them for sure they claim are having safe sex. Then it says 32% says sometimes. And then 5% or 8% said never. And then another 5% wouldn't say anything. But
scary.
Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me, and I think it's scary because the reason it doesn't surprise me is all the women I've worked with, and many of the women, thankfully, have, and this is terrible to say, have only ended up with things like hepatitis, and they've been treated, you know. But there's several women in our circle that have been exposed to HIV. It's scary. So, no, it doesn't surprise me that many of the men are not using protected sex. And that's something I really get upset about. You know, if you're going to venture outside of a relationship, especially a marriage, if you've taken vows and if both of you consider, you know, marriage sacred, and let's just say that's what a couple has signed up for. Okay, we're getting married because we consider these vows sacred. We'll be monogamous with each other. And when one partner goes out on the other partner, I don't care if it's, you know, with gay or straight or whatever, when you do that, you're really bringing back a lot of potential into your partner that you're married to. You're exposing them to a lot of different diseases. Now, when you look at that in terms of what you and I work with, straight wives and gay men, gay husbands, you know, that's upped a little bit because they're at higher risk for more sexually transmitted diseases. So, I mean, it's really scary. It is really scary.
I know. You know, I don't really get it. I don't know
why a man
would feel compelled to go outside his marriage, have unprotected sex, and then come back and take a chance with his wife. And there are so many stories in our book, Straight Wise, Shattered Lives, Volume 2, where women ended up with different sexually transmitted diseases. And the husband's claiming, I have no clue how that happened, or I have no idea, or you must have been cheating on me, anything but accept responsibility, or you must have been sitting on the wrong toilet bowl. I mean, the stories to me are just unimaginable, you know, what these men do, and they say to protect themselves. And I don't think they have one clue about how much damage they're doing to the woman by doing this.
Yeah.
Do you?
I don't think they do either. And when you look at it just in terms of the potential there, if you want to look at the statistics, I mean, I just think it's astronomical, because when you sleep with someone with unprotected sex, I mean, when you're not practicing, you know, having safe sex, when you're not practicing that, when you sleep with that person, that partner, gay, straight, doesn't matter, whatever they are, you are essentially sleeping with every sexual partner they've had prior to you at that point.
Uh-huh.
And I really think that's how you have to look at it in terms of, you know, sexually transmitted diseases. You really have to be careful. So when you choose to have sex with someone, if it's unprotected, I think it's worth repeating to say this again, you're having sex with every partner they've had prior to you. You're being exposed to whatever they were exposed to. So, I mean, you have to be careful.
Do you think this is part of their denial?
Possibly. I think, you know, I ask myself that a lot. Why would someone jump into such high-risk behavior? You know, why? You know, because it is high risk when you, you know, number one, many practice anonymous sex because, you know, I think they really choose to not bring the emotional side into it because they're not comfortable with that. And, you know, I sympathize with that, but it's still, you know, you can't just be going out and doing that and exposing yourself to all the sexually transmitted diseases and bringing them back to your wife. But, you know, I don't know, but it is just such high risk behavior. And it's just really bizarre to me. I don't understand it. And the best way I can try to understand it is, I think they try maybe, or this is some of the men I've talked to, let me say it like that they try to restrain themselves from having sex with men. And then it just gets to a point to where they can't. And when it gets to that point to where they feel like they can't anymore, they're not necessarily prepared to have safe sex, and they just find it, you know, and they have it, and they somewhat relieved, and, you know, and they're good for a while longer, I suppose you could say, you know, for lack of a better way to put it. But I don't know. I've asked myself that. I've asked some of the gay men that I know that have been married to straight wives. And I don't understand that high-risk behavior because it puts so many people at danger. It puts the gay person at danger because if he's not sleeping with his wife any longer, which a lot of times that's the case as well, if he's not sleeping with, you know, having intercourse with his wife, he's putting himself at danger. And I don't understand that either.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't get it. I really don't.
Especially since, I mean, it's not like people aren't aware of this. And it's
I
not
know.
Like they don't know about it. Another thing that I thought was really interesting with this survey is that, you know, we're talking about 1,354 men responded to this survey. So I think that's a good sampling. They're from all over the
mm-hmm.
world. But it says, the following diagram shows in percentage terms the ages when sexuality is realized for both men and women. The majority realize their sexuality when in the age of range of 10 to 14 years old. However, there is a significant number of people who do not realize their sexuality until after the age of 21. Well, I don't think it's necessary. Here's how it goes. For younger than 10 years old, it states for men, 17.5% knew before they were 10 years old. For 10 to 14 years old, it was just about 40% that knew. So that's a high percentage between 10 and 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
15 and 20 years old, 21.5% knew
mm-hmm.
as far as men. And then
mm-hmm.
21 and older, from 21 to 30, it was 10%. From 31 to 40, 5%. And over 40, another 5%. So there's about 21% of men who figured this out after 21, but look at the high percentage that figured it out before they were 21.
Mm-hmm.
And even by the time they were 14, according to this, you had 40, 50, 60, like 60% of gay people by the time they're 14, they understand that they're gay.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense to me because, I mean, I understood when, didn't understand. I thought I understood a lot about the birds and the bees when I was, during my teenage years. But, I understood that I was attracted, I was a girl. I identified as being a girl. And I thought the boys my age, I knew which ones I thought were cute, which ones I was attracted to. So it would reason to me that I would think, whether you're heterosexual or, homosexual, you would start finding those attractions at that time when you start going through the puberty, adolescent area of your life, those teenage years.
Well, also, part of the survey, he used the Kinsey scale for people to identify where they stood on the Kinsey scale. And most of them were, I think a large percentage were over on the side where they know they're gay. But, they asked for his reasons for getting married. And the highest percentage on each one of those levels automatically was that they met and fell in love. Running a close second was that it was their best friend. And third was that they did not want to be alone. And then a much smaller number, which I really feel is strange, that wanted to hide sexuality. I would think that would be more than did not want to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's how his, scale came up on that. So I'm not quite sure, if that's true or not. And let's see what else he said. The following diagram, here's some more his reasons for marrying. Basically, met and fell in love. That was the number one response that he got from men. So, do you believe that's true?
I believe there's, a possibility. I think many things are possible. And also, my first question was, when were these, do you know when this study was done? Do you know what year it was done in? Is this one study you're reading from? Was it the same?
The same study. It looks like it's gone up to 2009, almost for like a 10-year period.
Wow, so pretty recent. Okay, good. Yeah, that's interesting. That's very interesting. I don't know. It's hard even, being out the gay straight marriage for, 10, 11 years now. It's still hard at times for me to wrap my head around it, trying to see it from a gay man's point of view. It really is hard doing that. I don't know what the answers are. And I try to keep an open mind about the answers to some of those things. I certainly have several go-to gay friends that I have that are, that certainly help me. But, the interesting things about my go-to gay friends are, they don't understand gay men marrying straight wives, so it's hard to get some answers from them as well. It's just an odd situation. Whether you're pro-gay or not pro-gay, it's an odd situation to find help on, to find resources with. It's very politically. You've got to be careful. Because people do try to be politically correct, and when you do try to be that way, it's still hard to talk about, gays and straights being married. Where do you seek help from? So, it's just a very sticky, sticky situation to be in, and not only from a politically correct standpoint, but also from an emotional standpoint, who you are as a woman because you feel so damaged. So there's just so much fallout from this.
I think the important thing for women to know is that you should never have to live in any situation where you don't feel comfortable.
No.
And like I said, it doesn't matter to me if it's 1% of the time. I don't want a husband who has to fantasize about men to have sex with me.
But, Right.
And I don't think that that's asking, you know, anything out of the norm. I think most women would like to say, and that's not to say people don't fantasize. People certainly do fantasize. But when you have to fantasize about a man to have sex with a woman, then I think it becomes another issue altogether.
It does.
And then I think it is an issue because I don't see straight men fantasizing about other men. Have you found that in any of your experience?
No, I haven't run into that yet. And another thing that I think is so important to note is every couple should be entitled to having an intimate connection with their partner. Intimate connection, an underlying intimate connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's something that we see lack so much, and I see so many women put up without any intimacy, they tolerate it. And I'm going to say that about myself, too. I tolerated it. I tolerated it for many, many years. Throw sex to the side. You know, where's your intimate connection with your partner? Mine was zero. It really was zero. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I did not even get a handhold. It was lucky to get a peck on the cheek, you know, if I'd been gone a week or 2 weeks, you know, we'd been separated for a while. There was just no, very limited eye contact. You know, just that glance of, wow, you know, you look nice. I'm glad you're my wife. I'm glad, you know, there was no intimate connection. And I completely settled for that. That's scary. And a lot of our women do. So, you know, you're entitled as a couple to have an intimate connection. It's not, and I'm not to say every couple's perfect. They're not. You know, my background is marriage and family therapist. I mean, certainly all couples are not perfect. But there should be intimate connections there.
Well, Steve, let me ask you a question. When women say to you, you know, as a family counselor, I'm asking you this,
mm-hmm.
Well, you know, every marriage, you know, sex starts to decline, and I know I have plenty of friends, they're not looking to have sex, they've been married 20 years, 30 years, and they're telling me that sex part of their life is over. What do you say to that?
No, it's never over. It's not over until you're in the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always an intimate sexual connection partners can have. Now, yes, there will be points and periods of time where there could be a medical issue going on. Those things are usually temporary. I mean, there's all kinds of medications now. There's Cialis, there's Viagra, all those medications that some people, you know, some people can't take those for different reasons if they're on certain types of medications. But there, even if you can't, there is always, people's sex drive usually just does not disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Even, I mean, I know people that are sexually active well into their 80s, their 90s. Now, they may have to have different types of sex, I mean, but it's whatever satisfies them. Because, you know, as you get older, your body doesn't move as good as it did when you're 20. I mean, it's not going to move as well as when you were 20. But there's always going to be intimate sexual connections. I don't care how old you are. If you're in a healthy relationship, now let me preface that. If you are in a healthy relationship, there should be some type of sexual connections until your death or complete, you know, disability or something. You know, I know people in wheelchairs that are paraplegic that have sex lives.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's different types of medications that they do, and they have to go through it because they still have that desire that want to be with their partner, and they go through all kinds of extremes to be with their partner. It's natural to have sex throughout your whole life. Now, will it change over a lifetime? Yes, absolutely, it will change. You know, how you define sex will change. But in a healthy relationship, there still will be sexual contact all the way through. Should be through the entire marriage, or if it's not a marriage, partnership, whatever it is. Should be threads of sexual contact throughout.
You know, I just feel so bad because I feel sometimes women are just willing to settle for so little.
I know.
And,
I know.
You know, they're so used to getting nothing, and they learn to accept this because they don't feel that they deserve better than this.
That's true.
You know, I'm not quite sure why. I mean, I know all the issues that surround it, and I know that in time, you can feel worthless because these guys make you feel undesirable,
right,
or that you just don't deserve anything better. But,
well, I think part of the abusive cycle that many of these women get, and even they'll say, well, I wasn't abused. Well, you know, I think it's abusive when you're pretty much stripped from your femininity, you know, from that sexual desire. I think that can be very damaging to a woman. So, for example, if you're constantly told, well, you know, I'm going to use this one because I hear it a lot from the women I work with, oh, well, you smell bad. You have a bad odor. If you were heavier, if you were thinner, if you were this, if you were that, you know, always making excuses to not, you know, to tell their wife or their partner that they're not sexually attracted to them, if they don't desire them. And when you're told that so long, you start to believe it. And you are going to, I call it putting femininity into remission. I know I certainly did it. And many of the women that I talk to have done it as well. And when you just sort of close that side of you off and put it into remission, block it away, just don't pay attention to it, and just function day after day after day, it's sad, but it gets easier. You know, once you close it off so long, and by I mean easier, it just becomes more acceptable. It becomes a way of life in this partnership, that it's not really any type of marriage whatsoever. You know, it's really sad. It's really sad. I mean, you're roommates at best, but I've certainly had better roommates than my ex-husband because they were not abusive, you know. So, you know, you look at it for what it is, and when you're told so many different negative things about yourself. If you're told something long enough, you know, chances are you will tend to believe it. And that's the sad part. It really is sad.
Well, let's go back to the issue with bisexuality again, because I think, you know, we need to clarify this for women that, you know, I know that you want to believe your husbands are bisexual when they tell you that, because even you feel better when you hear the word bisexual, because to me, gay means a sense of finality. It's like there's no hope. You know, once your husband says he's gay, that means you know it's over. But with bisexual, you can at least feel, well, you know, he did love me, he did marry me, he did make love to me, we did have children together. And, you know, these feelings that he's having for men, well, they just popped up out of nowhere, and if I could really work on the marriage with him, you know, then I won't have to sit and worry about it every time. Would you say that's pretty much their thinking?
Probably. I would think so. And I'll even be bringing up the bisexuality bit. I'll even be just a bit more liberal than you. Let's say that it, you know, bisexuality may exist. If it does, I mean, straight wives, you need to listen. I was told this from, you know, and I can say this from experience. My ex, he somewhat hinted to the fact that he thought all people maybe, you know, could be bisexual. And when I heard his theory on it, I thought, wow, this is really bizarre. And it never made sense to me. Even if he was bisexual, why was he not desiring me? Why was he not having sexual contact with me? Why was he not intimate with me? Because I should be equally attracted to him as another male would be.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's what I just keep telling women. If you can't wrap your head around thinking that, you know, bisexuality doesn't exist, you've got to look at it like that. If your husband's claiming that, he should still be, you know, having sex with you. He should still be intimate with you. He should still be able to love you like you should be loved.
And I think that's a really key factor. And, you know, another thing that just keeps coming up, I have this every week, these arguments with women. You know, they're staying together for the sake of the children. They don't want to leave because, you know, they don't want the children coming from a broken home. But, I mean, what is a broken home anyway? I think when a marriage is broken, that's a broken home, not just because you split up. What would you think about that?
Wow. I mean, I work with a lot of teenagers, and I can tell you right now, you're not doing these children any favor by staying together if there's high conflict in the home.
Uh-huh.
it can be very, and that's a lot of things I work with these teenagers. They really do experience negative side effects from, you know, whether it be emotional, whether it be behavioral, because they act out, and, you know, teenagers will act out in different ways. They, you know, if you think you're parents and you have this stuff hid, trust me, you don't. Let me talk to your teenager. You don't. You know, you don't have it hid as well as you think. And the chances are, one of the things I work on with these children are, you know, okay, I ask them a question, what about your future relationships? What about, you know, and some of them are currently in relationships because they're in the high end of the teenage years, you know, 16, 17, almost 18 years old. And we look at their relationship patterns. It's scary.
Well, I know that these relationship patterns carry into your children's future.
Yeah.
And when they don't see a loving connection in a family, they're willing to settle for less as well.
Absolutely.
You know, they see that their mother put up with this and their mother put up with that, and they think that's all they should expect out of a marriage.
I know, it's scary, isn't it? And it happens.
It is scary, and that's why it's so important that you need to be a role model and say, you know what, this is not what marriage is about. And I don't want a man, you know, if you have a daughter, I don't want a man coming here and marrying you someday and treating you this way. Or saying to his son, I don't want you to get wrapped up with a woman and end up treating her the way you see your father treating me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, with me, as I always say, it's the monkey see, monkey do, monkey act just like you syndrome. Whatever you're going to be doing in your home, your children are going to follow in your path. And it's just like one of my close friends says, you know, what's the reason for her liking, you know, Elvis Presley? It's because her parents listen to Elvis Presley. You know, we emulate our parents. You know, or we imitate our parents. You know, whatever they
Absolutely.
Did, then we do, because we think that's what, you know, counts.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's so important to set a good role model for children. And when they see you're in a loveless marriage, and believe me, they know. I mean, children can tell what's going on in a marriage. Don't you think so?
Absolutely. You know, I can tell more from a marriage by speaking to the child than probably speaking to the husband and wife. It's really interesting. Children, they pick up on little innuendos and just those little nuances of a relationship that you have no idea that they pick up on. They do. And it doesn't have to be a teenager. I use that as an example because I work heavily with the teenage population. But, you know, we can take it down much, 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 much further. You know, when you see a kid, you know, 7, 8 years old playing with dolls, let's say a girl, I'm going to use a stereotype here, but let's just say a girl playing with Barbie dolls, and you see them act out a relationship. You can see what they're learning. It's just really interesting. And who do they learn from? They learn from their parents. So be careful, you know, be mindful of that. Make sure that, you know, that you are in a loving relationship, that you can show your children what love's supposed to be. And if you're not, you know, do what you can. Because life's too short. And you know what, Bonnie? Another thing, life doesn't have to be so complicated. It really doesn't. It does not have to be so complicated.
That's what I say. Life is never meant to be this complicated. And if you feel your life is complicated, you need to uncomplicate it. And we both know, Misty and I know, that it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. You know, first you have to get the right advice. You got to see an attorney. You got to put yourself in the right mindset. You still have to emotionally become divorced before you can physically become divorced. Is that true, Misty?
Absolutely. I'll be the first to tell you this isn't easy. I'm 10, 11 years out now, and the good part is I forget how hard it was. You know, that's the great part, because life is beautiful on this side of the closet door. I mean, it's wonderful. There's hardships, but it's absolutely wonderful. It's a different kind of, you know, you just run into, you know, everyday issues sometimes that can build up and create things that you have to work through. But looking back, wow, it was hard. It was so difficult. I mean, I stayed in a, and I'm going to use myself as an example. I stayed in a marriage 10 years too long.
Uh-huh.
I should have been divorced within the first few months.
Uh-huh.
And that's scary to say. I put up with a lot of stuff because I, you know, both my parents are still married to this day. I thought, wow, this man, you know, I married for life. That was my belief system. When I married someone, I married for life. And I kept living on that hope for tomorrow, that tomorrow would be better with him.
tomorrow was never better. Actually, it got worse. And it's no way to live. It's very difficult. And what I had to do personally myself, finally it just got so bad, I had to just emotionally divorce. And then once I was able to emotionally divorce him, I was able to seek support and get someone to help me go through the legal divorce process. And it was the best thing I've done for myself. It truly was. My life began after my divorce. It truly did. And it just seems like a lifetime ago. I've crammed so much into these years afterwards. You know, at this point in time, I've been divorced more than what I was married. And that feels good. That feels really good, you know. But it's not easy. It's not. I didn't have, you know, children to try to work out, you know, custody issues with. And, I just can't imagine how hard that is. But I do know how difficult it is to be in an abusive relationship. In addition to him being gay, he was also very abusive. And it's not easy. It's not easy. There's many things you need to look at. You have to, settle things around in your head and figure out, you know, what's your game plan. And I highly suggest you get someone to help you with that you truly trust, that has your best interest at heart, you know, and figure out what you have to do. Sometimes you speak to a lawyer, and a lawyer can give you a list. Okay, do this, 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 and this. Before, you know, you come back to me. You know, you really have to make preparations. The only time I say, you know, that you don't make preparations is if your life's in danger. There's no preparations in the world worth it. You just have to get out and go. Just go. You know, drive to a shelter. Living in a shelter's not that bad.
Well, I'm not going to say...
Where do you want to be?
You know, I'm not saying it's a good thing to live in a shelter, but it's better than having abused.
Absolutely.
And I think that's...
If your life's in danger, go. It's not worth anything. It's not worth that house. It's not worth, four, five, six bedrooms, whatever it is you have, and living with someone with a great salary. It's not worth it if you're being abused. It truly is not.
Well, Misty, we're going to be ending our program now. The hour really went fast.
It did.
Next week we're going to have one of our friends who was a great guest, Suzette, come back. Suzette was really wonderful when she talked to us about finding her independence and moving on in life, you know, after her relationship, you know, with a gay man, and the importance of standing up and being independent. And I'm so excited because now she found a wonderful man to be in a relationship with.
Wow.
And I know we always like to hear those happily ever
after. We do.
So she'll be sharing her story with us next week.
Wonderful.
So, I know. I'm really excited. So let's say goodnight to our listeners.
Well, good night and love to all.
All right, everybody. We'll be back here with you next week, and have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Bye.